turn our attention now to the reading of God's Word. It is actually Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 18. I changed the scripture lesson as well as the sermon today. I hope you will forgive me. So, Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 18. This is the call of the first disciples. It's a short passage, but it's brimming with all kinds of meaning. Matthew 4, verse 18. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he, that is Jesus, saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat, and their father followed him. Their father followed him. And then from Matthew chapter 28, "And Jesus came and said to them," he's talking to the disciples now, "all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Before we turn to the sermon, let's ask the Lord to bless the reading of the Word and as well as the message. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you as your children, and we pray, O Lord, that you would bless us not only with knowledge, which is vital, but that you would also grant us understanding in these matters. And more than understanding, that you would also give us wisdom. Father, we desire to know more of you, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father, we have limited understanding. Our knowledge can be meager at times, O Heavenly Father. But we know that in your grace, that you can impart your spirit of knowledge to us, that he can bring understanding and even wisdom. Father, this is something marvelous that you do. You don't necessarily grant the wise men of this world understanding, but that you can grant understanding to your children, to children who are in grade school, teenagers who are learning in high school. Simple men and women, Heavenly Father, can know more about you because of your Holy Spirit's work within them than some of the wisest men, the geniuses of this world. This is marvelous, Heavenly Father, and we seek that kind of wisdom, heavenly wisdom, O Lord. And so we pray that you would open our minds as you open the minds of Cleopas and his companion on the road to Emmaus, and that you would allow us to know more of Jesus Christ, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Gospel of Mark, beginning with chapter 4, introduces a pivotal phase in Christ's ministry. This section, marked by the phrase, "from then on," sets the stage for the rest of the Gospel of Matthew. It elaborates on the core message that Jesus has been preaching. And the message has been, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." This is a universal declaration that Jesus begins his earthly ministry with. "Repent, for the kingdom of is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand." This is a declaration that that tells us that the Messiah has come, that the Savior that God has promised, it has arrived, and he is embodied in Jesus Christ. In fact, he is the eternal Son who has taken upon himself our nature, becoming like one of us so that he can save us, so that he can save us from the wrath to come because of our rebellion. Well, the early disciples, who had previously encountered Jesus probably through John the Baptist's testimony and who had witnessed his miracles at Cana, are now called to follow Jesus. They're called to a deeper commitment. They're not to be on the periphery, but they are to be involved intimately in Christ's ministry. And they leave. These men leave their families. They leave what is familiar. They leave their trade in order to become fishers of men. They will be proclaiming the gospel of forgiveness themselves. They'll be proclaiming the gospel to those who need to hear it, which is the world at large. The call to discipleship will be demanding. It will require all of them. They will have to give over everything. Not only their time and their effort, but the tools of their trade and their very lives. They'll give up family, community, in order to follow Jesus. This call requires a complete and absolute commitment to Jesus, going beyond mere support. A lot of people will pay lip service to Jesus. The disciples cannot, and Christians cannot either. The response of these men to Jesus Christ's call serves as a model for all of us to pay attention to pay close attention to, and to model ourselves. The sermon has three parts, three major points. The first major point, Jesus calls the first disciples. And then the second major point, Jesus promises to make his disciples fishers of men. And then the third and final major point, the disciples leave everything. Nets, boats, family, to follow Jesus. We begin with the first major point, Jesus calls the first disciples. Verses 18 through 19a and then 21, verse 21. So one day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two men, two brothers, Simon, who will go on to be called Peter, and his brother Andrew. And these two men are fishing. That is their livelihood. And Jesus calls out to them, "Come, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And then a little farther up the shore, Jesus sees two other men. Two other brothers, James and John. And they're sitting in their boat with their father, Zebedee, and they are repairing their nets. It's been a long day or a long night, and they're repairing their nets. And Jesus calls to them too, "Come and follow me." Well, Jesus begins his ministry by calling these four men to follow him, to be disciples, to be learners, to be trained by him. And they probably already encountered Jesus. This event, the calling, marks a permanent commitment to Jesus. He looks at them, he speaks to them, and he calls them. In fact, he is commanding them. This isn't a suggestion. Jesus is telling them, "Follow me." Their immediate obedience to Jesus' call is demonstrated in a remarkable way. They leave their nets. They leave their occupations. This demonstrates the exclusive nature of discipleship. It means giving everything over to Jesus. And these men are willing to do that. They're willing to do that because God has already worked by grace on their will. He has renewed their will, so that they are willing and able to embrace the Savior. Jesus promises to make them fishers of men, and we'll look at that in a moment, suggesting the need for training. These men, although they're skilled workers in the trade of fishing, they need to be trained as evangelists. They need to be trained as apostles, which we will see. They need time to study and think and ponder and to test themselves and to be tested by God and by the Holy Spirit. And they will go through 2 to 3 years of training. It's a very interesting training. They don't go to a trade school to learn their new trade of being disciples and apostles. No, they follow Jesus. They follow their Lord and their Master, the great teacher who will pour himself out in revealing himself and his way to them. They will listen to him carefully. Oftentimes misconstrue the meaning of Christ's words, get it wrong, have to be rebuked, and then go back, so to speak, to the drawing board. This is a time of intense training. It is a time of humiliation in a way and being humbled. There's nothing more challenging than learning something new. When you're a kid, yes, but you're always sort of learning stuff new because you're young and the world is new and fresh. And so you're always learning, so you sort of roll with the punches. But it's very humbling, the older you get, to learn new things. It's humbling because the older we get, the more stuck in our ways, the more entrenched we are. You can't teach old dogs new tricks is the way of putting it. But it's true of a lot of us as well. The older we get, the more narrowly focused we can become, the more habituated in our thinking and acting. These were grown men who had a good business. Fishermen were well paid, and they were very successful. If you read the accounts of the day and compare them to other trades, this was a good trade. They were doing very well. They had a lot of tools that they had invested in, but a good haul of fish would show that they were quite successful. This is what they left, successful business. They would have been honored in their community. We don't need to speculate any more than that, but this would have been a challenge. Jesus calls to them. This was not an easy decision. It was not an easy decision. They had to ponder it. And I'm certainly sure they had to pray about it and think about it. But however long they took, as soon as they heard that call, they left everything. While the emphasis here is on the future apostles as official preachers, there is something to be said for each one of us as well. Now, many of us here have been Christians for some time. We're adults. We maybe came to faith as children. We went to Sunday school. We read their Bibles. We probably read our Bibles over deeply several times. Perhaps we've gone to school to learn more. You know, a Bible school or some other type of training, formal training, or maybe informal through Bible studies in church or with friends. But there's always more to learn when it comes to following Jesus Christ, if we are open to learning and growing. Of course, when we say this, learning the doctrines of the Bible, we're not looking for new revelation or interesting but ephemeral teaching. We're learning the Bible. But the challenge is for all of us, the longer that we are Christians, the challenge is to continue to follow after Jesus Christ in a pursuit, a headlong pursuit of Him. We've given everything over to Him. But it's easy at times to compromise on our following of Jesus. So this can be a reminder to us who have been long in the faith and following after Christ, maybe for years or decades. As we look at the disciples and their immediate obedience, may this stir us up so that we face that challenge too when Jesus says, "Follow me into the next pages of your life." As I'm causing you to turn the next corner, continue to follow me. Continue to be obedient in this next stage of your life. May God grant us the grace to be obedient as we turn corners and turn pages in our lives, that we would continue to follow Jesus. So the second major point is Jesus promises to make his disciples fishers of men. This is a curious term, fishers of men. Verse 19b. Jesus calls out to Andrew and to Peter, to James and to John, and he says something very striking. He says, "I will show you how to fish for men. Come and I will make you fishers of men." Jesus invites Peter and Andrew to become his followers. And he says that he would that they would become fishers of men. This means, at the very least, that they would be instruments in the hands of the living God. As God draws people to himself, he is pleased often to use the means that he has ordained. He has ordained men and women to share the gospel with others, neighbors and friends and families. And he's also ordained some men, he set some men apart to be pastors and preachers and evangelists to declare the word formally from the pulpits of the churches of this land and around the world, morning and evening on the Sabbath day, to preach the gospel, so that God's people can hear it and be refreshed and built up, but that also those who are far from God can hear, and that God can use his word to hook them and draw them in by his grace. And this is what Jesus is saying. I'm calling you so that you can be instruments in the Father's hands. But in order to be fishers of men, they need to be trained. And they also need spiritual armor. They need the armor such as the shield of faith to protect them from evil forces, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. They need to be trained in all of this. This is not going to be an easy task. This isn't something lightly entered into. And of course, the most important tool in their new trade is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, the truth as it's revealed in the pages of Scripture. This message, the gospel, has the power, the effectual power, to save people, to change them from the inside out. As God uses his word, he removes stony hearts. He replaces that stony heart with a living heart, a breathing heart, a new nature. And Jesus is saying to these men, come and I will make you fishers of men. You will be used by God, and the gospel will be advanced through you. The gospel is the central message of the Christian faith. It proclaims God's fulfillment of his promises through Jesus Christ. It is the message of salvation to all who believe in Jesus as the Savior, the Son of God. And God has chosen specific people to save. In his appointed time, he calls them effectually through his word, by his Spirit, drawing them from a life of sin and death, of meaningless and moral torpor, into a life of grace. He enlightens people's minds. He opens their hearts. He renews their wills and leads them to the cross of Christ. This call that the evangelists hear is a call from God, God's Son, and is a call of grace. Until a person is quickened by the Holy Spirit, no one can come to the Father. But when Jesus calls these men, they are drawn to him. Have you been called? Maybe not called to a life of service as a pastor. Maybe some of the men here have. They're grappling with that. But have you been called to follow Jesus, to serve him, to love him, to obey him? And if you have been called, have you obeyed? Or are you in a state of resistance? And if you've been called and you're following him, are you also allowing the Holy Spirit to sanctify you, to make you holy, so that he can continue to shape you and mold you, so that you are more and more being conformed to Jesus Christ. This is part of the extension of the call. Are you listening to the Holy Spirit? Are you bowing your knee to him? Are you saying, yes, Jesus, I want to come. I want to surrender more and more of myself to you. In Acts chapter 28, Jesus says to the same men he's called, this is at the end Acts 28, he says, Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. You see, not only does God call these men, but then he also provides everything necessary for them to carry out their calling. He doesn't call them and just leave them, rather. He calls them and then he equips them. He blesses them. He sends the Holy Spirit upon them. He gives them a community of believers, the church, in which to serve. And the same is true for us. When he calls us, he doesn't leave us high and dry in isolation. You know, splendid isolation. We're not to be monks cloistered in some remote island like Athos. We're to be active and participate in the life of our church, the life of our family, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so when he calls, he gives us gifts, these wonderful gifts, most especially the Holy Spirit, and also the gift of the church. Have you heard the call? Have you obeyed the call? Are you following after Jesus and using the means of grace that he has given us? And if so, bless you, brothers and sisters. And if not, do an examination of your life. If you see that there are areas in your life where you are falling short in your obedience to the call on your life, then go to Jesus. Cry out to him. He's gracious. He is kind. He is merciful, slow to anger, and quick to forgive. And he loves to hear from his people, especially in a state of humility, when they offer their prayers to him. And he is the one who is able to continue to fashion you and to mold you into his disciple. This brings us to the third point. The disciples leave everything, everything, to follow Jesus. Verses 20 and 22. They leave everything. Simon, Peter, and Andrew leave their nets at once and follow Jesus. And James and John also immediately follow Jesus, leaving their boat and their father behind. Imagine leaving everything behind. Everything in order to follow Jesus. Your home, your family, your livelihood, to follow a man who promises a life of purpose and meaning, but also of great sacrifice. Well, that's precisely the position that the disciples found themselves in. They were to leave everything. That's precisely what the disciples of Jesus faced, and it's a call that continues to go out. Now, not everybody leaves their nets, their boats, and their family for Jesus. Oftentimes, Jesus is pleased to continue to allow people to remain in their community, with their family and with their church, and it's wonderful. But there are instances, and they're not rare, when the call upon our lives means that we do leave everything. There are people that you probably know personally, or at least have read about, who left everything in order to follow Jesus. Think of missionaries in past centuries leaving everything in order to go to China or to Formosa or to Africa or South America or the Middle East, leaving everything behind. George Leslie Mackay was a missionary from the Hermosa area, just very close to here. You can still see his bust at the city hall or court in Woodstock. Left everything. He had a farm, family, friends just outside of Woodstock. But when he heard the call of God, he left everything. He went first to Princeton to be trained as a missionary. But then after he was trained, he had a heart for the people of Formosa, which is now Taiwan. And this was back in the days, the mid-1800s, when you left everything. They didn't have, or steamships were just coming in, but it meant a very long journey. They didn't have Amazon where things were dropped off, you know, the next day. They didn't have telegraphs or internet. So if you went, you were gone for months, for years, for decades. And when he heard the call, he left everything. It was a life of great challenge. And some real heartaches. He was often surrounded. Formosa in those days, the inner part of the island, was inhabited by cannibals, and so he could have lost his life in a very dramatic way. And yet he trusted in the living God, and the living God did not disappoint him. The living God blessed the ministry and caused it to flourish. George Leslie Mackay was quite an exceptional missionary. He established a hospital, a university. He married a local girl, and his family, by all accounts, are still there a century and a half later. The family of the Mackays are still in Formosa, now Taiwan. And periodically, if you're walking through Woodstock and passing by the courthouse, you'll see a busload of Taiwanese people who have come specifically to the area where George Leslie Mackay originated, because they're so grateful that God sent a man like Mackay to their island. They would not have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ if it were not for faithful servants like Mackay giving up everything, going more than halfway around the world to serve strangers in a strange land because of Mackay's great love for Christ and his knowledge that there are many others out there who don't know Jesus, and we need to go and serve them too. The cost of discipleship is great. Following Jesus comes at a cost. It requires a willingness to sacrifice everything, including, but not necessarily, family, possessions, and possibly even one's life. Even one's life. Sometimes following Jesus means giving up everything, but it's worth it. In Luke chapter 14, 26, Jesus warns whoever does not love his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, cannot be my disciple. Now, of course, he's speaking in hyperbole. Of course, we are to love and honor our parents. It's an order, a law that is given to us by God. But he's saying in magnitude, the order of magnitude, if we love anything more than Jesus Christ, we're not being faithful disciples. We have to give everything up in order to make Jesus Christ central in our lives. Not only for a day or for a week or for a month, but for a year, for the decade, for the remainder of our life. We are to make Jesus Christ the pearl of great price, seeing that he is the great treasure of our lives. So I would encourage you, brothers and sisters, to continue to look to Christ, to see him in all of his glory, in all of his majesty. You have maybe have been tempted this past week to think of something as more than or more valuable than Jesus Christ. A common temptation. This sermon is to remind you that there is nothing greater than Jesus Christ. Whatever the temptation is, whatever the lure that God or that Satan uses, his device, whatever it is, you need to see that it's a device of the devil designed to blind your mind and your heart to the glories of Jesus Christ. Continue to look to Christ. The call to follow Jesus is a profound call, the most profound, demanding a deep commitment, a perfect commitment and willingness to sacrifice everything for Jesus. However, the reward of following Jesus begins not only in this life, but it continues into eternity. By following Jesus, we not only enjoy fellowship with God now, but perfect and consummate fellowship with Him in the future, in paradise. May God grant us the grace to follow Jesus Christ and to be delighted by Him all the days of our life. May we draw our satisfaction from our union with Christ, and may we follow Jesus with great joy in our hearts as God continues to minister to us. Let us pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word this morning, a Word that reminds us that the call to follow Jesus comes at a tremendous cost, our very lives. But Father, we also are thankful for the reminder that You provide everything necessary for our flourishing as we follow Jesus Christ. And the reward, O Lord, is great. Fellowship with You now and in eternity. Father, we ask that You would continue to use us as instruments in Your hand to be a blessing to others. We pray for those people in our neighborhoods and in our communities, in the grocery stores and the banks and elsewhere who do not know Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that we would share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those in need as we in our walk with You, our walk with life. This we pray in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.